Hey, welcome, welcome,
welcome,
welcome to the Marshaverse. This is a place in the rest of the universe where I come to make shit make sense. Marcia.
From the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's midnight in the Marshaverse, starring Marsha Warfield and her two sons, Stephen Roberts and Kills Hudson, as the problem child. Hey, don't you know that
the queen is... Good morning. Welcome to Midnight in the Marshaverse, that witching hour between yesterday and tomorrow. It just happens to be right now. I am so happy to be here, and I'm happy to have you here. We had a week off, and now we're back at it. It's been a pretty hectic week for the world, not just for us or any particular group. It's been pretty hectic in this past week. And so it's a good time for us to just take a deep breath and chill. You know, we have to steal our chill time. It's not programmed into our schedules, our capitalist schedules that are built to keep us busy and working and not thinking about the hell is going on in the world. And we have to, before I get into anything else, you know, we have to realize that we are a greed-based society, which is why I created the Marshaverse. I'll get into that, but I don't like that hustle and bustle. And, you know, that's why I like this time of night. No happy day people around. Hi, how you doing? You know, we can just relax and be grown folks. And grown folks like to have a little refreshment from time to time. So I like cannabis and cognac, so we're going to have a little cannabis and cognac. Tonight I have some coffee with a little Bailey's salted caramel in it. And just to sweeten the pot, just a tad, you know, not too much. We're going to have a little, this is Martell VSOP, one of my favorites. And so we're just a little, like, okay, that's all I need. That's all I need. You don't need to take more than what you need. We'll stir that around. This week we have just a regular plain old cup. We don't have anybody. I'm going to have to get one with my name on it so I can have my Marsha cup. But right now, this will do. Tasty, not too sweet, just lovely. This is my little favorite little stizzy pod thing, and it has a cartridge like that and goes in here. And this is a hybrid. I'm not sure what kind, but we have to be very careful with the hybrids because they could make me sleepy. Just a little bit of that too. Now, like I said, this week has been insane. We have obliterated supposedly Iran's nuclear capability, except it came out that no, we didn't. It's like, ha ha, fooled you. which made y'all's president cuss. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like he does. And he's surrounded by clowns and idiots. And it's just, if it was happening in a movie, you wouldn't believe it, but it would be hilarious. There's so much that would just be built-in punchlines. But it's not a movie. It's real. It's like a white soul plane. It's just insane. So we're going to put that aside and start talking about, we don't have a guest this week. It's just me and the boys. If you hear any noise, it's just me and the boys. Hey. Anyway, me and my boys, we're going to chit-chat and all that kind of stuff. But it's hard to put into words all the thoughts that go around in my head about life and the world. I created the Marshaverse as a matriarchy. because I believe, I fully believe that the problem with the world is that men are in charge of it. And men are not really good at problem solving. They bully. We have a bully president. He wants to peace through bully. All right, be peaceful now or I'll blow your asses up. This is never going to work. People generally don't fall for that shit. And the fact that this is our foreign policy should either have us laughing hysterically or running through the streets protesting, because this is not the way to do it. But I think it's exposing all of the realities. It's exposing the realities of white supremacy, of patriarchy, of all of the flaws that is built into this capitalist role model. You know, United States has always been a color-coded pyramid with the richest people at the top and the poorest people at the bottom. And the poorest people are usually the darkest people, and we go up by color and wealth. So the wealthiest people are white men. But people forget that pyramids are not just three-sided, one-dimensional things. They are based on a four-sided square and three equal sides, and they have an interior, and they have like underground tunnels, and they have a peak. They have all sorts of other layers and intricacies within them that get glossed over, and we're just supposed to think about the one-dimensional, simple, know your place and ask no question. But we have to start understanding how and why we got here, and what's in these little rooms and secret tunnels and stories. They have different levels in this pyramid, and have to understand that there's no reason for you to stay where you are except the people at the top want it that way. When I was about, I don't know, 5-6 years old, I heard a joke, and I would tell this joke about the Treads. The Treads were a group of people who lived at the bottom of a mountain, and there was an ogre at the top of the mountain. And the Treads wanted to get to the top of the mountain because that's where all the good shit was. And so every day, every Saturday, all of the Treads would get together and start climbing up the mountain. And the ogre would just stand at the top and kick them down and kick them down. And so one day, one of the Treads went to a sacred elder and said, "Could you help us? This guy won't let us get to the top where the good shit is. He keeps kicking us down off the mountain." He said, "I'll go with you. We'll see what's up." So he goes Saturday, he's there watching, and he's watching the Treads trying to get up the top of the mountain, and the ogre is just kicking him down and kicking him down. So the wise man gets in line too, and he's going up with him. And the ogre keeps kicking, and when he gets to the sacred wise man, he just picks him up and puts him to the side. And he keeps kicking the Treads. And the man says, hey, how come you didn't kick me?" And the ogre said, "Oh, silly rabbi, kicks are for Treads." I should tell that joke again because it was a rabbi. Anyway, you get the point. Even professionals fuck up jokes. But the point is, we have ogres at the top of the mountain who keep kicking us down because nobody wants to stay where it's crowded and where there are no resources, because the people at the top got them all. It just don't make sense. Does it make sense that like 5, 10, 20, 100, 2,000, a million people at the top have all of the world's wealth, and they just sprinkle crumbs around and watch us fight, you know, like it's some kind of sporting event? And it's insidious, the means and ways and mind tricks that they put on us that make us think this is the way it's supposed to be, and contribute to our own abuse and downfall. Well, we don't do that. You know, we don't have those kinds of expectations. We are not a competitive, combative, conflict-driven society here. We are a family. We are communal. We are about the common good, which makes, you know, the greedy people at the top of the mountain laugh. Ah, common good. They just want it all. They can't see getting along, you know? And some of those negative traits that are built into this system that can only go a certain way when you are restricted to pyramid thinking, we don't have that kind of logic. We have a share mentality. We have a maternal, you're all my children. I looked up, because here in the Marshverse, we have our own religion. We have the Church of which is the first church of the Marshverse. And I am the founding queen mother. And it goes like I say it goes. But the goal is for everyone to have what they need. Most people don't want to have it all. We don't, you know, what are you going to do when you have enough? What's the point of having more? I have enough. There's a concept that patriarchal thinking just doesn't allow. Because it's about hoarding your wealth for your children. Well, in the Marshverse, they're all my children. And I looked up, like I said, creator gods. We're indoctrinated with male creator gods, which makes no sense. Men cannot create life. And so just because they live in the sky, they still don't have that power. And none of them birthed anything or anyone. And so there, and none of them have, you know, female counterparts. And I wondered, why were there no feminine creator gods? So I asked the AI, you know, where are the feminine creator gods? And came up with a bunch of them. And a lot of them aligned with the kind of thinking I came to on my own. And one of the most fascinating was Anna Bukulu. She created the world and then turned it over to her children. And she's a grandmotherly figure who allows her two children, some say are male and female, some say they're not. This is a creator goddess in West Africa, Dahomey. In other regions of West Africa, there are different interpretations, but it's the same as this grandmotherly figure who is a beneficent mother. I like that concept. I like the concept of feminine because women create life. And that gives you a different perspective on conflict resolution, on just about everything, because you don't want to hurt the children. It's not about your ego and dominating. It's about the common good, which is why we should have elected Kamala Harris. I have no problem saying because she was a woman, because she is a woman of color, as much as that term is despised. She has a certain sensibility about how things should be solved, and she understands that it's not always possible to resolve a conflict right now. But baby, I'm gonna get to it. You know, you know, you can trust me. We're gonna work it out because we have. That's our incentive, is not to enrich ourselves or to be the dominant person or the ogre on top of the mountain pissing down on all the trends. That's just not a motivation. And so I think about how these people in charge to maintain their position, they have to create certain psychological things they have to propagandize. They have to basically lie and use mind control tricks and stuff that make you stop thinking rationally and start following this group think. And one of the things that really bothers me is we have in this society people fighting over who gets to call who what slur. And I'm on social media a lot, and I watch conversations and debates, and whether it's bot inspired or whatever it is, you get all of these people fighting over who gets to call me a nigger. And I say, nobody. Nobody should call me that. That was a word created to take my identity, not to be an identity. That had to be forced upon people who did not respond to that. I don't know what that is. But after so long of being defined as that word, which meant something very specific, and it was meant to rob you of your personhood so that you would be easier to control. And one of the most insidious tricks about white supremacy is how they turn it around and blame you for it. So you come to accept things that are unacceptable, like the embrace of the word nigger. It identifies you in a way, like I said, that robs you of your personhood and is a word of control. So when it's why you can use it, you can call your friends and family and brother and sister that word. But if somebody else says it, the wrong person says it, it hits a visceral spot in your being that there is no real way to control. And that reverse psychology that makes you want to own the word that demeans you is fascinating to watch, but it's also something that once you watch and realize, just let that go. We don't need that. I don't need that word. I don't need the reverse racism and all that kind of stuff, anti-woke. That's silly shit. And sometimes if you just don't buy into it, it loses all. So we have to be aware that there's a real goal of this society to blame the victim for their own victimization. What was she wearing? You know, why are you pretending to be somebody you're not if you're trans? You're wrong to be who or what you are. And so we have to be careful. I have to be careful in my business to not contribute to that and help perpetuate it. But this system is set up, it's designed for us to participate in our own victimization. So just, let's just be a little more aware and celebrate the fact that as a community, we not only have power, we are right, you know. Right now, people are fighting over who has this land, who has that, what that is. And then people choose sides. People have, again, visceral reactions. And nobody says, why are we fighting at all? Why is anybody fighting? There are other ways to solve problems, but we can't conceive of them because we don't hear them all. You're a conflict winner. You got to get to the top of the mountain. So let's not do that. Let's try to do something else. And I, this weekend, I had a busy weekend, and it was very, very fulfilling. Shifting gear, changing something. I went Sunday to the premiere of the Ronaldo Ray story. Ronaldo Ray, stand-up comic that I met long, long time ago. He was older than me and became one of my comedy uncles who looked after me, protected me, and put me on game. And Ronaldo was good for that, for helping younger comedians. And I was very fortunate that a lot of the older comedians felt protective. I was 22, 23, living on my own, thousands of miles away from home, and didn't know anybody, didn't have enough sense to be scared. And so they looked after me, and my mentor was around my parents' age. Ronaldo was around that kind of that age. And these men were very, very instrumental in my development as a young woman and as a comedian. And while I was there, the producer, director, Marcus Head, is also involved with a group called African American Humor Association. And he told me that he had been trying to give me an award and I could finally pick it up. Okay, I didn't know I had an award. And he said yes. And at the premiere, he gave it to me. This is an award. This is a heavy, heavy. It says the AHA. 1990. They've been holding this since 1990, and I finally got it Sunday night. It says the AHA's 1990 Marsha Warfield Comedian, Actress, and Writer, African American Humor Award Society. And I am so honored that I got this award. I think it's beautiful. It's heavy. It can be a weapon if I need one, but most of all, it's an honor that people think that I deserve this, and I will cherish it, and I'm going to put it on my spirit table. This is my altar behind me. And sometimes people get weirded out when you say you have an altar, but everybody, just about everybody has an altar. They just don't think of it that way. That place in your house where you have the pictures of people who are dear to you, where you have mementos souvenirs of places you've been, and some people have Bibles on a mantle somewhere or on a table somewhere. These are sacred places that have energy and spirit, and so. Look around at where you built your altar subconsciously and recognize it for what it is. And it's the same thing here. These are just mementos and things that are dear to me that represent the feminine ancestral line. And when I started, when I built the Church of Jesus, I had read about West African religions, but what I took away from it was to get in touch with my own spiritual and ancestral beings and feelings and stuff. And so my mother and sister and aunts and my grandmother, their essence is all there, and their spirits and protection are there. And that's what the Church of Jesus means to me. Your altar, your power, your heart is whatever you want to make it. And so make you one. Call it what you want, but get in touch with that spirit. And that spirit that's eternal. We think of life as linear, as beginning, middle, end. Again, that's very patriarchal. Matriarchies are circles, cycles, cyclical. There is no beginning. There is no end. It's just continuous spirit. So if we can all get to that level of relating to each other in the world, a lot of the things that occupy us won't make any difference whatsoever. Be that as it may, I also got this. And this is from the History Makers. I am one of the history makers. I used to watch, look those up, you know, whenever I was researching a dignitary or someone that I admired. And now I'm one of them. I'm so jazzed about that. The History Makers says, we proudly announced that the video oral history interview of Marcia Francine Warfield is now a permanent part of the History Makers collection at the Library of Congress. The History Makers archive provides invaluable first-person accounts of both well-known and unsung African-Americans, detailing their hopes, dreams, and accomplishments, often in the face of adversity. This culturally important collection is a rich and diverse resource for scholars, teachers, students, and documentarians seeking a more complete record of our nation's history and its people. Signed, Joseph H. Billington, 13th Librarian of Congress, June 1st, 1929 to November 20th,
2018. I'm a history maker.
They gave me so much stuff. The History Makers. Here. The History Makers.
I'm a history maker. I'm so excited. Anyway,
I thank everybody involved, and I am so grateful that anybody thinks that anything I've done is worth any kind of notoriety. It means the world to me, and I'm very, very proud of it. This was the tribute to Rinaldo Ray. I met his grandson, a very nice young man, Murph Ray. But he was very nice, and he's doing stand-up comedy now and carrying on the family tradition. So there were Chris, Thomas was there. He was the host. And Brian Hooks and Howie Bell and Hawthorne James and Clarence Pointer. And they were all there. We had a wonderful time. And on the back, it says, the Rinaldo Ray documentary was produced and directed by Marcus Head. Contributions made by the African American Humor Award Society. And they had my picture, Marcia Warfield, and my credits, including the Richard Pryor Show, Night Court, and AHA's alumni, 30 plus years.
Yay me. So I am,
like I said, grateful and happy for that. And now I'm ready to introduce people that I am even more proud of. My sons, they are adorable. And I introduce you first to my baby boy, my problem child, my love. I adore him. And he has always has something to say and something to show us. So I'm going to let him roll the tape. And then I'm going to bring him out, and we're going to talk to you. What you going? Roll the film.
What up, famo? What up, famo? What up, famo? Marcia First. I'm just stepping outside here today. It's currently 105, but right here in the shade is 104. And my new neighbor that's upstairs, right? He has this bike that's very interestingly decorated. I'm gonna let y'all check it out. What in the Raiders super fan motorsports is going on? My Demi.
So that was amazing. But right now, I want to you to say hello and give a nice round of applause to my baby son, Skills Hudson. Hi, honey.
Hey.
How you
doing? What up? Hey, Mark. And congratulations, History Maker.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. What you rolling over there?
Yes, I'm up there rolling up a blunt. And congratulations to it. I'm going to smoke it for you. Well, okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm congratulating you.
A celebratory
yes.
Joint. I can't be mad.
Yep, as I was hearing, because I wasn't going to smoke anymore because I'm off these flight bites.
Okay, you just and, highly medicated at the moment.
Yeah, these flight bites. You ever what seen
is
a drone?
Is it a gummy?
Yes.
It got
little nerds on it.
Okay. Anyway, sit tight. I'm going to introduce your brother. Sibling rivalry is so yesterday.
Let him stay back there.
Anyway, my oldest, and I'm so happy he's here because he's been under the weather for the past couple of weeks, and we were really worried that, you know, he wasn't feeling well. But obviously tonight he's feeling great, so we're going to let him introduce himself through this video that we're about to roll. Roll the tape.
There are moments in one's married life where one asks oneself, why do they hate me so much? Why? One of these times in my life is when my husband sets his alarm for much earlier than I have to wake up. And then the alarm goes off, and then he pushes snooze. We're all awake, and we all drift back to sleep, and that snooze alarm goes off, and we're all a bleeping wake again. Do you hate me? Do you just not want me to get enough sleep? Do you just want me to suffer your pain now? If you're going to have to be up, I'm going to have to be up. But here's what I really don't understand. When he hits the snooze button again, don't you have to be up? I will ask this question and say, don't you have to be up? He said, no, I got another 30 minutes. Then why did you why'd you set the alarm for that early in the first place? If you knew you weren't going to wake up yet, like, why did you do that? And then he's like, well, I thought I might get up. Oh, so you're gambling my sleeping on your flight of fancy that you hope you'll get. Why? Do you hate me? I don't hate you. I wouldn't do that to you. Why are you doing that to me? I want to sleep. So, next time he does it again, and I just put on disco music and just play for the whole freaking house. Marriage.
So, ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my oldest son, the one who looks just like me, Stephen Roberts.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, Mom.
Stephen, not Steve.
Please, don't call me Steve.
Never.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, two of them?
Yeah. Two?
Two of them. You
know? And, okay, so the history makers, that happened when? Just recently?
Well, I did the interview when we were at Martha's Vineyard earlier this year.
Okay, like 6 or 7 months ago?
Yeah, I think it was in May.
Boy, that was a year ago.
Yeah. I just got that award and everything, that package, the big box, you know, and I'm like, what is this? I wasn't expecting it. And I got it like last week. So.
Wow.
It
and
was,
then, how did Ronaldo Ray's grandson?
Uh huh.
How did he know that you had that award from AHA?
Oh, he didn't give me the award. Marcus Head, who is the producer, and director and the hustler, motivator, the guy who put all this together.
Of the documentary?
Yeah. Okay. He is involved with the IHOPs and has been involved with it for 35 years.
Yeah.
And said he's been trying to give me the award since then. I never knew anything about it.
Did you know about the IHOPs back then?
No. No, and it wasn't long after that that I stopped working. But in 1990, I was still on night court, and I was still traveling around the country, and I was, those were busy times. I was also in my own personal life, so a lot of things probably went under the radar. That was one of them.
Skills. Our mother has been recognized with awards for over 40 years.
you know
how people call people legends and stuff? And and when we really are related to a legend, you know what I mean? I mean, that's real. That is real. You know, when people are using the word iconic these days, which just bugs me because, Marilyn Monroe is an icon. Martin Luther King Jr. is an icon. When you think of leaders or movie stars or presidents, George Washington is an icon. Abraham Lincoln is an icon of those categories. So when people say iconic and legend, they waste that word on people who really deserve it, like our mom. But it's true. It's absolutely true, because the thing is, every guest that we've had on here that you have interviewed has talked about how grateful they are that you paved the way for their particular path. And that's how you get to be one of these truly, truly admired people who has made a difference.
Take these compliments, Mark, because it's coming from your sons. We just, we close to you, so we don't give it to you a lot, but hey, you deserve it and more.
Well, thank you so much, but let me tell
you.
Let me tell you. I posted this on my social media. I was popping popcorn in my bra.
What? Where are we going?
And it burned my tit up. Colonel jumped out the pan and looked, and it landed here. And then it went down, and there's another keloid there. So I would take all of these compliments. I appreciate them, but I should have used a pan.
What the hell has that got to do with the popcorn?
That's our mom being humble. That's our mom, remember, trying to remind us that she's human too, but that's not what we were talking about right now. Yes, you are just as real, but you have made strides, and they have affected other people.
Well, I hope so. It sounds corny, but I've always seen show business as a calling and not just as a career choice or anything like that. I've always felt that there's a responsibility in doing this to do the best you can to elevate other people the best you can, and even if you don't succeed, the effort is worth making. It makes the journey worthwhile, chasing the bag, as they say. That's for making sure you can eat and have enough money to continue to do this missionary work, this work of going around making people smile and think and feel better.
Yes.
So to hear the things you say and to get these kinds of awards and recognition is gratifying. It makes it all worthwhile.
But they're not on accident. It's not an accident.
Yeah, but I'm saying it validates me in a way that, money can't, other things can't. It's, it's who I am and who what I want to do. And if I can be known as somebody who made people feel better or think different or, you know, relate to other people a little more honestly and intimately, I'm good. I'm happy. So it's been a while since we've been together. What's been going on with y'all? What's been going on with you, Skills? You've been all over the country.
Club.
Where you been? What you been doing?
Well, recently I was just reminded what humidity feels like. I was in Arlington, Texas.
Ooh.
And I must have took 62 showers. Because, goddamn it, just walking from my hotel to the little mall to just, So I enjoyed it. I know, but I forgot. I haven't been in Chicago in the summertime in forever. So my body, that's just like if I get bit by a mosquito now, a mosquito would tear my ass up because he'd be like, damn, you ain't been bit in a while. Huh?
Right. You didn't see no mosquitoes? Usually when it's humid, there's a lot of mosquitoes. You didn't see no
mosquitoes? No, because it was basically during the daytime. And when at nighttime, I ain't, you know what I'm saying? I stayed in the car and went to the, I didn't really, wasn't out to, and when I ran to the stove, I ran to the stove at like 3 a.m. and had to take a shower as soon as I got back. It was like over the little bridge. And people look at me like, why are you outside?
Well, yeah, why are you outside at 3 o'clock in the morning?
I had stuff to do.
Oh,
But look, I was about to tell y'all something important too.
About Arlington? Go ahead.
It was something else.
It was about humidity.
No. It was about y'all boy, Trump. Before
that's whose boy? He's not my boy.
That's your boy. You don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Before I came on, he posted on his page a video of some planes going over Iran, and he playing the song "Bomb Bomb Iran, Bomb Bomb Iran, Bomb Bomb Iran." Our president.
That people were doing that for Bush. That's where they came from when Bush was bombing people and people were going around bomb 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 bomb.
That came from the Carter days. That came from Jimmy Carter days when we were having the Iran conflict. That was on the radio. There's an actual recording of that song from the
70s. No. This one is his voice. Is his voice?
Yeah, he's recycling.
I know that. I know that. But I'm telling y'all, it was his voice.
Really?
That creepy ass. I got to knock on your door and let you know I'm moving in the neighborhood. Voice that he has. He said, "Bomb, bomb, bomb." I can't even do it.
No, there's just nothing.
Just ridiculous now, man.
About that. Where have you been?
My weed guy is a big Trump supporter. I was telling Steven about this earlier. And it's a trip. We really good friends. So he's the only one out of my life. But he's the only one out of my life that I'm able to still be good friends with. And he's an avid supporter. Everybody else, they don't, you know what I'm saying? We ain't been able, but he's just that, like, and I be listening to him and I be telling him and he be listening to me too. But I'm like, dude, but he really, and he blacker than me.
No, I can't hang. I'd have to get my, I'd have to grow my own. Anyway, Steven.
Hi,
where have you been? What have you been doing?
Well, I have gotten the last 4 or 5 weeks, I have been just trying to get through having pneumonia. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been feeling better. This week I'm at Brad Garrett's. Last week I was in Laughlin. And you know, I was in Laughlin at the LA Comedy Club there at the Edgewater Hotel. And all I did was stay in my hotel room. I would get up, I would go do a show, and I just went back to my hotel room. I just slept all like from Wednesday to Sunday. It was great. I'm feeling a lot better. And there was some shows I just couldn't get out of, so I did them. But that last week when I did the Laughlin one, I was feeling good enough to be able to do it. And so I'm at Brad Garrett's this week. And, you know, I've just been kind of laying low, just trying to, you know, get better.
You look, got a little color.
Thank you. Thank you. You got I can use all the color I can get.
You look in the pound here with the sickness. So
Yeah. And I lost 20 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to go up that night.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Well,
no, I'm on the pump.
Nice.
Burn yourself diet.
Yeah.
I need you to stand up.
You need me to?
I want to see where this 20 pounds went.
Well, it all went through my face.
Still,
from your neck.
It went from my neck. Like,
Marvin Gaye.
You look like Marvin Gaye.
Like you get ready to mother my.
What? I look like Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, Christy told me to. She liked when I grow my beard out.
Healy. Okay.
But I've noticed you've been wearing your hat, Raymond, a little less. You've been going more natural, showing off your shiny.
Oh yeah, because my Chrissy been telling me she like, baby, let the world know you are beautiful.
See, now I've been telling him forever to.
But it's different coming from you, Ma.
I don't know. That's what I was about to say. When you have, it still comes down to you need women in your life who can point out and make you feel better about the things you're insecure about. And I'm glad she's co-signing the things I've been trying to tell you forever.
Well, didn't your wife do that for you too?
Yes.
Yeah.
But my wife and I, she's amazing, and we kind of annoy each other a lot.
Yep.
But we accept that we ignore each other a lot, and we just roll with it, you know, and so we don't have many conflicts and stuff. It's just she likes what she likes and I like what I like.
Yeah.
She's a day person. I'm a night person, you know, and so we have these little conflicts. But at the end of the day, nobody is stronger in my corner. Nobody is more supportive. Nobody cares about me the way she does and vice versa. I just think it's funny that we've learned at this age that ain't no perfect people, you know, and that perfect person you have in your mind don't exist. You made that up. And so you have to accept the person that you love that loves you the way they are and roll with it, you know?
Yeah.
And so we do.
Well, anyway. I was reminded that my other half is exactly who I need, because boy, did he take care of me through being sick. I'll tell you what.
Well, I am so glad that he made you go to the doctor. That because you went to the doctor 3-4 times, which was good, because at first they weren't treating you the way you needed to be treated,
right.
And he didn't let that go. Whereas we on our own might have, you know what I mean?
Suffer through it till you get through it.
I don't want to go. No, get up. You're going in. We're going in, and we're going to find out what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, another part of what I mean about your partner annoying you. You know, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. And then you going to do that. And we all need that in our lives. And somebody to say,
and you know,
show me your face. Let me see your face. You know?
And it's it's annoyances that, you know, they come from intentions of love. It's when those annoyances become resentments that it starts to become a problem.
Yeah, and, well, when you're sick, though, you can start to resent people saying, get up, put your clothes on, let's go. We're going to the doctor. I hate you.
Right.
Leave me alone. but you have, that's part of love, you know? Right. That's the person you'll let antagonize. Anyway, we have prattled on, you know, is the part of the show where we're supposed to ask people to like and subscribe and you know, comment and tell us what they think, and please do.
We need you
and want to have this thing grow. We've got some great guests coming up in the coming weeks. Looking forward to them. Next week we have the comedy guru. He's the mentor to comedians. There's not, I don't think there are any many comedians, black comedians especially, who don't know who Andy Evans is. So we're going to hear his stories and about all the people who depend on him for guidance and talk about how important that is, that we have people in our lives as we're coming up in this business who can give us encouragement and advice and, you know, kind of like a parent can be our mentors and parents and help us through this. It's a singular business. You know, we are the only performers who perform alone, totally. We don't have bands. We don't have, you know, nothing. We drive ourselves to gigs. We travel alone. We're on our own, so we need somebody to anchor us, somebody we can. Marvin is over here singing. somebody who can help us through when it's lonesome, when it gets scary, you know, when it gets frustrating, when good stuff happens and you can share it.
Gills, look at your title.
Anyway,
since you posted that, I'm gonna say what I was gonna say when you said they your husband took you to the doctor. I was gonna say this, and you probably went, you had no appetite. I was like, did they feed you in a tube? Rectum style.
two of them I double fisted.
Uh-oh. I don't think I want to be in this conversation.
It was a...
See what I have to put up with. Anyway, I think we've come...
That was totally tubular.
You know, raising boys is not easy. I'm fortunate that I didn't start raising mine until they were in their fucking 40s.
Y'all get that, though? Totally tubular.
That's high. That is high right there. That you can't get much higher than that. That's that funny. That is so high.
How was that? If you get a chance, see the Sly Stone documentary. Anybody see it?
Not yet.
Not yet. What streaming service is it on? What streaming service is it on?
I'm finding out right now.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but it's fascinating historically and just
it's on Hulu and Disney.
And watching his genius, you know, and they had, I think Questlove produced it, and they had all of these superstar R&B producers and Jimmy Jam. Terry Lewis, they had D'Angelo and others. They were interviewing and they asked, what was Black genius? And nobody had an answer. It's just like, what is Black genius? And all Andre 3000, nobody could say. And I'm sitting there just like Angie was sitting there, and we're both sitting there going, you, all of you, say it. Why can't we say it? Why can't we? They didn't see it. And to watch all of these talented, just wonderful, talented performers, and Sly, his story, and how lonely that is, how show and business don't really go together. And so because they're in a business with competition and all that, you get the genius, the fragility of genius and talent doesn't get nurtured. And it can really be what destroys performers, that genius is commercialized, exploited, instead of being nurtured and celebrated. And so just watching that and how the effect that celebrity has on talent was fascinating. It's a fascinating aspect of it to me. And so I like to been recently liking to end the show with a last word from one of my elder sources who can give us some wisdom. I think one of the ways they control us is by making us demean old people, when old people are a big resource for younger people, to have someone who can put things in context for you is such a blessing that we're not currently encouraged to exploit, to use to our benefit, our mutual benefit for the older people and the young people. But this week, you know, I'm a big R&B fan. I love R&B. And so our last word, I think, is going to come from Luther Vandross. Of course, I can't really play the song, but Luther Vandross, I love in a way that I love a lot of really talented performers. But Luther, I love so much, I want to cuss him out. He'll be singing and he'll do a run or hit a note, or he'll just say, ooh, and I just want to go, you motherfucker. You're singing, motherfucker. It's just the boom. And so he did a version of Ain't No Stopping Us Now, and he did it live. There's a live version that I just am loving now. Think that sentiment, that understanding that we have the power, that if we put our mind to it, ain't no stopping us. I think that's a great way to end the show. And I hope that it makes you go into tomorrow with a smile, with a positive look. You mean the world to us, all of you. You, everybody watching. You are the reason why we do what we do. And so, before we get to Luther taking us out of here, Skills, where are you going to be this week?
This week, Thursday, I'll be in Burbank, opening for Lunell at Flappert. Friday, I'll be back here for Show Skills. Fridays and Sunday and Monday, I'll be with Lunell at.
All right, Mr. So Gay. Steven. Hey, you told us where you're going to be, but run it by us again.
As of the time that this airs, I will be at Brad Garrett's on Sunday, June 29th at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. Come see me.
Good. And until then, lay low. Still make sure you're getting your rest, your vitamins, your and fluids, and take care of yourself, because we want to see you back next week.
And thank you, Mom.
Skills, thank you so much. Just
are you showing us your tetanus shot? You got a tetanus shot?
I love your
No, Marvin's so gay.
Oh, you being gay.
You can't even be gay, right?
No,
you can't even do that right.
Not limp enough. Just not. And when you pop a cord, be careful. All right, Mr. Luther, take us out of here on our last word. We'll see you next week. And thank you all for being here. Love you. Good night. Mm-hmm.
Hey, don't you know that the queen is back? She's back, she's back. She withstands the test of time. When it comes to strength, she comes to mind. Get down, she gets back.